Colonel Douglas Forster Reel 2. Colonel, had the tank corps put on a special course, in fact, for the 11th Hussars? Was it a sort of special...
Oh, I think so, yes. Because we had to learn the thing from zero, really, which normally, you see, officers going there from their own corps would have known quite a lot, and their course probably would have been quite different.
Do you recall your senior officers at all going to Bovington at this time?
Yes, they all went. Everybody went.
How did they get on?
They got on all right. Our colonel went and everybody went.
You mentioned that you went back. You didn't do the gunnery course then. What were you doing?
Well, I went back. I was sent back to instruct the squadron sergeant majors to drive, because they would then have had to. They had to take on the instruction of the sergeants as well. Some of the sergeants, and they wanted somebody to take them out and teach them driving of the Rolls Royce. They issued us with a few cars, and so I went back, and I used to take them out every day driving around the countryside, and a bit of the mechanical part, because they wanted them still back at Aldershot, looking after, you know, the squadrons and the horses. We still had some horses then, one thing and another, so somebody had to go back and start them off, and I went and started them off. And then I went and to Lulworth later on, when the 12th Lancers went down there, and I went and did the course with them.
If I may return briefly to that driving instruction of the sergeants.
Yes.
How did they get on with that driving?
Well, they weren't very good, but they got all more or less all right. Had some awkward moments, because, you know, they hadn't, as far as I can remember, none of them had driven a car in their lives, and these great heavy things. They had quite a job. But we managed to get on. I don't think we had any very bad accidents. I remember one turning over once, going down a hill, went through the hedge and turned over, but that, it didn't do any harm to anybody, because the fellow just put his legs up against the side of the thing, and that was that. But we had some rather hair-raising times occasionally, but they were very good on the whole, considering that the experience of motoring was very limited.
You drove them around the streets, did you?
Oh, drove them everywhere, yes. My big thing eventually was to go up Guildford High Street, which, if anybody knows that, is rather awkward. It's on a steep hill. And stop on the hill and tell them to start off again. Hope they didn't run back. But ASV went all over the place.
What would happen if you had a sort of bump or accident?
If you had an accident, the usual thing in the army, you filled in a lot of forms, and they were sent on somewhere. And I suppose eventually the War Office paid out to whoever was hit. But the beginning part of when the regiment was mechanized, we had a lot of accident forms. Well, we couldn't help it, really. The colonel used to get in a terrible stew, but there it was. And of course, if you're bumped by an armored car, it's bound to do quite a lot of damage. And considering, you know, that nobody... The soldiers, a lot of them hadn't driven at all, a lot of them who had to drive, We didn't do too badly, I don't think. But that went on for quite a long time.
The sergeants that you taught to drive then instructed the,
yes,
the troops?
Yes, they helped, I think, as far as I can remember. And then eventually, you see, a lot of other people did courses, soldiers, NCOs, and they had to do the gunnery. And then later on, of course, they had to learn the wireless, a lot of them.
Were you issued with any wireless at this time?
I don't think we had anything then, as far as I can remember. I'm not sure. I don't think so. Wireless was just coming, just beginning then, I think, in used, you know, in the army. But I don't think we had any. I wouldn't swear on that. And of course, it became vital later on.
When you went down to Lulworth for the gunnery, what were you being trained on?
We were trained on a thing called a two-pounder, I think, if I remember rightly, which was the only gun I think they had more or less then. And it really wasn't much good. Well, I mean, it was no good against the Germans much. But we didn't have anything better then, I don't think, anything bigger. And, of course, in those armoured cars, you couldn't... They only had a Vickers machine gun in them. But I think we were trained on the two-pounder. And... I'm not sure, really, what else. Whether we were, had a Vickers gun training then, I'm not sure. I think we must have.
How did you get on that course? Presumably you'd done some gunnery before.
No, I hadn't done. I'd only done gunnery with a Hotchkiss, which was... equivalent to later we had the Browning gun, but Hotchkiss was the automatic, and ordinary rifle training. I hadn't done any other gunnery, and I just went through the course with the 12th, who I knew anyhow, most of them. They were very nice.
Were you taught to fire from the car when it was moving, were you?
I think we must have been, yes. I can't remember, you know, really, to be absolutely honest, but I think we must have been. I can't remember exactly what we did do.
What sort of standard do you think was reached on that?
Oh, elementary, I would think, really. Enough to teach other people a bit, I think, was really the main thing.
When you returned to the regiment after that...
Yeah.
Had the... cars all arrived?
Oh, no. Not that I remember. They like, took, you know, like everything else in the army, a long time to. Came in dribs and drabs, like when we were... Later on, we got different sorts of armoured cars. You know, it always takes a very long time to get anything. Because the economy, like it is now, you know, there's never enough money to make the, what one wants quickly. And it takes years or a war before people, you know, will get on with it. And then when they do produce anything, a new tank or anything like that, they go and try it, and then down at Bovington and Lulworth, and they all crab it, and then it's sent back again, and altered, and then it comes back again, and it takes years before the people at the War Office decide if it's all right or not. And we didn't have any tanks then, practically. We had a little thing which was pretty well useless.
Well, you had a small light tank at this time?
Yes, we didn't have it then, but the tank corps had a small light tank which had a two-pounder gun in, a sort of pea shooter. And, you know, had no chance against the Germans.
So when you got back, there were still quite a lot of horses, was there?
Now, I can't remember, I'll be quite honest, I can't remember when, how long there were horses or when they went. But we didn't do any more horse training, and we just had our horses for playing polo and or hunting. And I can't remember actually when they all had gone.
Did the fact that you've now got armoured cars anyway, or some of them, alter the sort of daily routine of what was happening?
Yes, it was bound to do that, of course, because you didn't... But we kept it more or less the same routine. You know, we went out on our training, and then we did, instead of stables when we came in, we did maintenance on the cars, greasing and all the rest of it. And in the afternoon... We didn't do a great deal, as far as I can remember. Because one didn't have to do... in the old days, one did afternoon stables as well. But those old cars, you see, they took a lot of maintenance. One was always greasing them and things, which one doesn't do in a modern car. And one had quite a lot of that to do. And then, of course, a lot of people were on courses, you know, one way and another. A lot of soldiers and NCOs, and seemed to be quite a lot to do anyhow. And then, of course, we used to go out on elementary exercises. I mean, we were something quite new, and the infantry had Aldershot and used to like to have us out, a squadron or something out on their exercises, you know, to practice things.
What sort of things were done?
Well, I think, you know, reconnaissance things and then sending back information to the infantry and that sort of thing. Just very elementary thing.
In the cars?
Yes, in the cars. What cars we had, which I don't think we had very many. And then, of course, there was all the driving instruction going on all the time, which took most of the car, as far as I can remember.
When you said that you did a reconnaissance with the infantry, would you send a message back with a car or a dispatch rider?
Well, we used to have dispatch riders, motor bicycles, we would send them back. But it was all very slow, because there was no wireless.
That working with the infantry there was a fairly regular routine thing then, was it?
Well, I don't think so. Again, you know, I'm not sure. I think originally we did mostly driving instruction and mechanical instruction, you know, lectures on how the carburetor works and that sort of thing.
Were you given any changed instructions over the tactical use now of what you were going to do?
Yes. Well, I think we had tactical discussions, you know, because we were the first people. And so we had tactical discussions, as far as I can remember. And then, of course, there was the tactical school, which I think people went to. But I think it was more amongst ourselves, because I don't think anybody knew, really, much.
Did you find with the car that you could go further? And
well, actually, and it was so slow then that we used to really think that it was probably been quicker on a horse, because if you went forward, you then had to somehow get your information back. And there was no method of getting it back except a car going back, which you obviously didn't want to do, or else a motorcyclist, who one realized that in a war he probably wouldn't never have got back, because he might have been knocked out. So it was terribly slow then.
Did you go very far afield out of Aldershot on these sort of exercises?
Not then, not at that time, I don't think. After all, we were all novices. And we had a lot of groundwork to do.
Do you remember the first occasion, for example, when you'd be used with a larger division?
No, I don't remember when we first went far afield. I should think it was sort of a year later, I would think. I don't know. I can't remember that.
Just while we're talking about tactics, who was sort of responsible for tactical instruction in the regiment at that time?
Well, the normal people, I mean, the squadron leaders and the senior officers and everybody, you know, it was just one's common sense, really. You know, one, after all, had been trained with horses, but one still had a rough idea of what was expected when one was in cars.
Were you issued, for example, with a new manual or...?
No, I don't think so. There must have been a manual sometime came out, but I can't remember when. No, I think one did just normally, you know, what one thought through experience, and then I suppose at the end of an exercise one had the usual conference where the general told you what he thought you'd done wrong or right. Whoever was conducting the exercise.
How were you organized in terms of the armored car? Were you in... Did you keep your old system of...
We had troops, yes. We kept our old system, where each squadron had headquarters and four troops. And I think we kept exactly the same, as far as I can remember. Well, yes, rather depending on how many cars we had. We gradually increased our number of troops as we got more cars. But the eventual thing was just the same, really, as the horses, the same organization.
Did you keep the same car and crew each time?
Well, we had the... Yes, we tried to keep the same crew, you know, with people always leaving or going on courses and one thing and another.
In other words, I mean, with your horses, you had your regular set of horses that you always had, didn't you?
Yes. Well, we had, yes. But, of course, it's always quite a wastage, you know, with horses and things. But everybody, you know, soldier keeps his horse, his own horse, and the same as he was the crew of a particular car.
So, in other words, the crews of each car stayed more or less together?
Yes. Until somebody left or got promoted or the car was written off. Or
were they trained to be interchangeably in roles, as different jobs they had?
Yes, you see, at that time there weren't all those many jobs because we hadn't then got the wireless. And later we had the gunner, in the more modern times, we had the gunner and the wireless operator and the car commander and the driver. And when they'd been trained in the various things, they were called either a gunner operator or a gunner driver. You see, it was like they had to pass courses, and it was a tradesman course, really, if you were one thing or another. But I wasn't with them when they got better sort of armored cars. I'd gone, so I can't really say exactly what happened when they were out in the desert.
You mentioned earlier on there that there was a good deal of coming and going. Was there a great deal of people leaving and
changing? No, it's normal, you know. Soldier does so long and then he can go if he wants to. And of course there always is a big change, and there's always a changeover going on.
Did you feel sort of safer in an armored car rather than on a horse when you went out on training exercise or anything?
No, I don't think so, no.
Did you feel happier in a car, or did you sort of enjoy it when you went out?
Well, I don't know. Really, it's awfully difficult now to say what one felt 45 years ago. But I don't think one thought much then, you know, about those sort of things.
During this period, when you've got back to the regiment, did you were there other arms still assisting, like the tank corps people in any way, or?
No, I don't think so. I don't think there was anybody assisting then.
What about heavy maintenance then?
Oh, well, then it went off to the what they call the Royal Remi, which is a Royal can't remember what the thing is, but they are the they run the heavy, you know, they take the thing to bits and put it together again. Mechanical engineers. Which anyhow, the place like Aldershot they had. Later on we used to have our own, but at that time they'd go off, you know, be towed down the road and then be put right for anything major.
Would you say then that overall the tactical use of the armoured cars was the same as using a horse?
Well, up to a point, you know. Yes, it is up to a point, but I mean the thing is that you cover many more miles and things. It's really quite difficult. Different, I mean. See, I didn't fight in a war with a horse, so I really don't quite know how much they did in that way of reconnaissance, but the armored car in the desert, of course, covered miles. I wasn't there, but I know and have read and heard what they did. And of course, they were invaluable.
When you went on these exercises, was there any problems at all about petrol supply? I mean, did this cause a problem?
I don't think so, no. No, I think you just had your petrol wagons, you know, that you filled up from, and tins and things, and then you kept some extra spare tins in the car, as far as I can remember. And then when you ran out, you went back and filled up again, really.
You didn't take these petrol wagons with you? You didn't?
Well, I suppose, again, I can't remember. I suppose they were, you know, with the transport, with the food and everything else, like they were with tanks in the war. You have a sort of echelon with things that you want daily and want immediately and things as quick as you can, and then another echelon with other stuff. And it keeps fairly close up, as close as it can. And you ring up when you want to stop.
Were there any mechanical problems as you can recall at that time? Did you have any?
Oh, well, yes, they're always breaking down, as far as I can remember. They were very old machines, and you used to have quite a lot of trouble.